All right, episode 94. We're back, Rob.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Cotter.
I wasn't expecting to hear that. Yeah. All right, episode 94, creeping towards 100.
We're getting there.
All right. What do you want to talk about today? What's on the list?
Well, I thought it would be fun to maybe moving forward introduce, we'll call it a series.
Yeah.
But kind of since we are globally headquartered here in Atlanta.
I like the global, you know.
To do some ideas and podcasts and conversations around all things Atlanta.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Love that
idea. So, well, you know, moving forward, we can talk about restaurants and venues and all the wonderful things about Atlanta. So I thought maybe for the first inaugural Atlanta podcast, we could talk about Atlanta brands and Atlanta companies and beloved, hated, admired, despised.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Atlanta has a lot of great history.
Yeah.
I
consider myself a native.
Yeah.
I was in Chicago for a couple months and then I was here.
So yeah,
I
consider myself a native.
But you've been here for how long?
I've been here since 97.
Since 97.
Yeah, and I draw pictures for a living, so I'm not going to do the math on a podcast.
But right, but a lot of years.
Yeah, yeah, several. Yeah, I've been here over 25 years.
Several years.
And yeah, I mean, I still hold, it's hard to break a little bit of the sports love from where you grew up, right?
Sure.
So I still have my sports allegiances. But my kids are Atlantans, and I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else, you know? So, I mean, this is definitely home. And I think forever, I'll always have a presence in Atlanta.
Do you think it was the strength of the Atlanta Olympics, what's it character brand that drew you here?
Yeah.
The power of that creature?
Well, if we want to specifically tie into today's topic of great Atlanta companies,
right.
I came from one of those great Atlanta companies, which was Turner Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that is what drew me to Atlanta. I would say coincidentally, it happened to be after the Olympics.
Right.
I wasn't part of the post-Olympic boom in terms of like, hey, I want to leave. Because I know there was a big, not big, but there was a migration from the Northeast, especially in the financial sector, of people that were like, hey, I don't want to live in New York anymore. I want to live in the South.
Yeah.
And it was, and there's a lot of Atlanta versus Charlotte in regards to that, right? And a lot of people chose Atlanta. So I didn't come for that reason or whatever. I didn't come part of the economic boom or what. It just coincidentally happened that one of the first gigs out of college, Turner, is what brought me here. So,
well, it, you know, in Atlanta, looking back,
it's changed a lot. Man.
It's changed a lot. You know, and growing up here, I mean, it was, you know, and everyone says this, but it was our, it was a little city.
Yeah.
It was a quaint little, nice little town.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine what like Indianapolis it would be, you know, things like that, right? Like you've got all the pro sports teams and you are the big city in the state, but it still is quaint.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, it's true.
Yeah.
But then you had, you know, I mean, you had Delta. Right? You had Delta here.
Yeah.
And you had Coca-Cola. It's been here forever. So you had these anchor, you know, ginormous businesses.
For sure, for sure.
That obviously drew in, you know, the economics and the jobs and all the things. And
Absolutely.
Then you started to get, over time, the UPSs and some of the other large companies that now call Atlanta home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an Atlanta historian by any stretch, but I do think that the investment in the airport when occurred was definitely one of the, an anchor point in terms of the growth of Atlanta from a commercial perspective, not necessarily from a residential or just, you know, quality of life, but just, transport and business perspective.
Absolutely.
You know, the airport.
It's the world's busiest airport.
Yeah. It's legit, man. I mean, it's a legit airport.
And you kind of, it's a,
you and I have both flown all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell, I mean, yeah, it's got its problems. I mean, because of how big it is, right? But and the frequency. But I gotta tell you, it's a pretty good airport. You know,
I've learned to navigate it over the years, and I think it's great. And but it's, you know, growing up with Delta as the hub, you take it for granted. The fact that you can
Absolutely.
Go from here
nonstop,
almost anywhere in the world if there's enough fuel on the, on the plane.
Yeah.
I mean, and I forget about that. And then if I'm somewhere traveling or whatever, you know, and somebody's coming in from
connecting
Columbia, South Carolina, or whatever, it's like, oh no, I had to fly down to Atlanta and then over to the thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Or that couldn't fly direct to Orlando. I had to stop in Atlanta.
Right.
Or you know those types of things. Even traditional like. What do you call, like trade show cities? Like, oh, I couldn't get straight to Vegas. I had to, you know, it's like, what? Well, like dude, I haven't connected anywhere ever.
I know.
You know, in 25 years, you know, that type of thing, right? Like, so, yeah, the airport is legit and definitely helped with a lot of the commercialization.
Yeah, and those, absolutely. Those things,
so. But yeah, Coke, I mean, you mentioned, Delta, humongous.
Home Depot.
Home Depot. Yeah. Arthur Blank.
Uncle Arthur,
who's gone on to, obviously own the Falcons and United, and he's got, is it Arthur Blank Foundation? What's the name of it?
The Blank Foundation.
The Blank Foundation, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. And they've done a tremendous amount of, charity work and all sorts of good things in the community. Everybody loves Uncle Arthur.
Yeah. I mean, Bernie Marcus, who co-founded it with Home Depot, he built the aquarium.
The aquarium, yeah, which is a legit world-class aquarium.
It absolutely is.
It's absolutely unbelievable. So,
Beluga whales. I just think of the beluga whales.
Yeah, well, but they're all about the whale sharks there. I mean, because it's the biggest.
And you walk through the tunnel. It's pretty amazing. If you've never seen it and you come to Atlanta, you should absolutely go.
Yeah.
It's worth the visit. Who else you got? You got Newell Rubbermaid.
I did write down Newell Rubbermaid as well. And Newell, you know, is interesting in that it's a portfolio of brands, right?
Right.
So it's, you know, obviously Rubbermaid and whatnot, right? But you've got Graco in terms of all the baby lines of equipment and whatnot. You've got Sharpie pens. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Calphalon pots and pans. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of different brands underneath that Newell umbrella.
Correct.
And yeah, they've been here for quite a long time, I feel like. And we've done a little bit of work, Goody. I think we did a bunch of stuff with Goody, like the hair care products and things,
and
right?
Like the brushes and the things.
Brushes and scrunchies and hair ties. And we did some packaging work for those guys way, way, way back in the day.
But, and you've got like, you know, CNN.
Yeah.
Headquartered here.
For sure. New York gets all the pub, but really they started here with Ted and everything.
Correct. You know? Yeah. Correct. I think a lot of Turner. Turner was the 24-hour news. That was his whole.
Yep.
Breakthrough.
And they still have all the networks and all the stuff here, Turner Studios and whatnot, everything, right. You know, Cartoon Network, TNT, TBS.
TMC? No, TCM.
TCM. Yeah. Classic Movies.
Classic Movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, as we're getting older, those classic movies are getting more and more current, you know?
I know. So, yeah. Coming back around.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
But then you also got those, like, I don't want to say tier two. I don't mean that, in a negative way, but you've got the tier two sort of companies that are here, like, and new ones, like you've got like Spanx.
Okay.
You know, Carter's.
Yes.
Right. Which is the baby sort of focused company.
Absolutely.
Orkin.
Yes.
Is headquartered here.
Yes. So I think about that big Rollins sign on Piedmont, right?
Yeah.
But is that all
Orkin.
That is all Orkin.
Well, so Rollins is like truck, they have trucking. Okay. They have all kinds of things.
That's right.
And Orkin is one of the Rollins, one of their brands.
Okay. Got it.
But so you've got all those other just sort of, Chick-fil-A.
You mentioned Chick-fil-A. Oh yeah. Chick-fil-A. Man.
World's greatest chicken sandwich.
Yeah, somebody's going to be left off this list, and by somebody, I mean probably lots of people.
Lots of people. You know, lots of people.
We're not going to
point being, them. Atlanta is like a real player in the global economy, dare I say. And if you think about it from a brand perspective, you could argue that Coca-Cola is the world's most recognizable brand.
I think it is
absolutely in the conversation.
I think year after year, it's almost always in the top.
It has to be, right?
It has to be number one. You know,
it has to be.
It is such a unique product in its ubiquitous nature that you get it at the finest six-star, six-diamond resorts.
Michelin.
Anywhere in the world, right? But think of the grossest, most disgusting service station somewhere off in the world, marooned out in the middle of nowhere. They've got Coke there. You know, like, so, I mean, it is everywhere, you know? I mean, it is such a unique product in that respect, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's the, you know, Joe's Truck Stop, but also the Ritz, you know, the Four Seasons, you know, that type of thing. So it's, I think year after year, it's kind of duking out McDonald's and Coke, but they are absolutely tied at the hip. I mean, they make each other, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, McDonald's is Coca-Cola's number one client globally, for sure. So,
I mean, who are they battling? Burger King and Pepsi?
Well, yeah. I mean, the question is, would McDonald's ever serve Pepsi? And the answer is
no.
Yeah, because Pepsi also has competitive set restaurants now. You know, like
Burger King won't ever serve Coke. I don't think
Burger King serves Coke.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, I thought they were all, why did I think they were all Pepsi?
I don't know.
Well, maybe it's Taco Bell I'm thinking.
Taco Bell is Pepsi because that's part of Yum Brands.
Correct.
Yeah. With the other restaurants they've got.
But it's interesting too, if you think about Coca-Cola as being one of the most recognizable or if not the most recognizable brand in the world. You and I have had a lot of experience working on that. I think everyone in Atlanta has had experience in this industry working on the brand, and just you kind of get a little bit of a hint of just the scale of the operation working on a client like that.
Absolutely.
In terms of, I think about just color matching.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And Coca-Cola Red. And just the idea that, like, I think people kind of take for granted Coca-Cola Red.
Yeah.
Well, it's
and
just
brand
red.
Standards,
And we're not going to get down in the weeds of printing and substrates and things like that. But the team and the mission to keep Coca-Cola Red consistent across the globe.
It's incredible.
Is a pretty incredible task.
Yeah. For those listening at home, really what we're talking about is red is red is red until you print red on aluminum, cardboard,
plastic.
Yeah. All the different things. And then all of a sudden those things start to shift, right? And so you have to kind of preemptively adjust your red to make sure that, you know, on shelf, all the reds line up properly. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is definitely an artwork to, that brand. I mean, we think about Coca-Cola hasn't really changed their logo really.
Right.
Ever. All right. I mean, they've cleaned it and modernized it and whatnot. Right. But from a brand perspective, it's been pretty consistent, but keeping that consistency can be a Herculean effort, you know. Now, almost religiously, every 2 years, they do change their packaging. I mean, you know, ever since New Coke, they don't change the formulation.
Yeah, well, I was going to say we'd be remiss.
Because we don't want, we don't want to change our, like, we want our Coke the way we want our Coke.
Don't
right?
mess with perfection.
Yeah, so, you know, you need a reason to advertise, you need a reason to chest beat, you need a reason, you know, so I mean, it's how do you want your Coke? Do you want it in a gigantic jug? Do you want it in a little pocket mini? Do you want it, you know, in a bottle and a can? You know, it's really more the vehicle delivery than it is the product change.
What is your favorite Coca-Cola vehicle? How do you like your Coke?
I'm a purist and I like it just in a can. Just give me a 12-ounce can. Just give me a 12-ounce can.
Can's where it's at. I could argue, it stays the coldest, obviously, in the can.
For
sure. That's the best.
But there are people that really, I mean, because you mentioned Chick-fil-A, I mean, there are people that, that absolutely think that, like, the Diet Coke from McDonald's fountain, for example, is better than, the, you know, like, and there's formulation, and I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea how any of this works, but.
Well, then you have the.
But are you a can? You like the can?
I like the can, okay. But what I'm going to say is this, because I don't drink a lot of soda.
Okay.
But when I do.
Yeah.
No, I drink Coca-Cola. And also Dr. Pepper. But I'm because I don't drink a lot of soda, like a 12-ounce can of soda is a lot for me.
Okay.
So I kind of like the little 8-ouncers.
Do you really?
I do.
You've grown to the minis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And part of that too is because with kids, and we don't have a lot of soda in our house.
Yeah.
But when we do, you can bet they're not drinking a whole 12-ounce. And I'll find a half a can here, half a can there.
Okay.
So we have a ban on.
Yeah.
12-ouncers.
That's a waste of.
It's a waste.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, a perfect serving size is the little 8-ounce.
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. That's, I mean, yeah. Coke. I mean, gosh, we could do a whole series of podcasts just about Coke. So, I mean, and I haven't been to the new Coke Museum. Shame on me. I went to the old one a million years ago, but, which we probably should do a field trip about because it really is just a history of advertising.
Right.
You know, to be quite honest. I mean, some Blue Santa and how it all works. Right. But Atlanta, like what I love most about in terms of businesses and whatnot is, you know, we get the opportunity to partner with a lot of startups. I mean, Atlanta has a lot of startups.
Huge
as well,
startup.
You know, and there's a lot of stuff incubated across the street from Georgia Tech that we've had the pleasure of working with, you know, startup companies, you know, hey, we invented this awesome super thing, you know, that helps fix part of your body or does whatever it does, you know, and then it's. You know, hey, we got to name it. We got to
call
it
something.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we sell this thing? How do we package it? I mean, that I think is one of the beauties of being in Atlanta too, from like a branding and marketing perspective, right? Is there's a lot of opportunity out there. You know, there's a lot of, imagination. There's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of good things.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody thinks of, you know, obviously California and Palo Alto and that area is kind of a tech hub, but Atlanta is, you know, especially with Georgia Tech right there and all the incubation that they do, startup incubation
for sure.
Tech. I mean, now you've got Google's coming here. I mean, a lot of big players are sort of coming.
Microsoft built a big building. Google built a big building. Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of big buildings.
We're not
here.
Just sugar water.
Sugar water and building supplies.
That's right.
And jets. You know,
you've got Boeing.
Yeah, well, you got Lockheed Martin.
Lockheed Martin.
You know, yeah, we've got the military. We got Dobbins.
We got Dobbins and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're going to forget 9/10 of
everything.
Shout out
to the military guys.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yo, I don't know. I don't know where I was going to go from there.
The other thing I would say, this may be another podcast, but we mentioned it earlier in terms of Atlanta. You know, we're getting a lot of good press and whatnot for the movies and Hollywood and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of relocating here and whatnot, right? But I think, you know, in terms of the innovation of Atlanta, you know, the music industry in Atlanta has really, you know, it's when we were growing up, you know, we've done podcasts on bands and whatnot, and it was, okay, you've got, you know, your grunge coming out of Seattle, right? That was the whole thing in the 90s or whatever, right? But Atlanta definitely has been known for a hip-hop community and the invention of trap, right? I mean, Migos and all sorts.
Outkast.
You know, and then even before that, obviously, I was going to go backwards and say Outkast, yeah. I mean, we had the classic famous So-So Def billboard.
Jermaine Dupri.
On the connector forever.
Forever.
You know? So, you know, that's a great
and even,
industry in Atlanta as well, right?
Even, and it, cause, you know, even if you go further before grunge, you think about, it's not Atlanta, but it might be perceived to be kind of like Atlanta from the outsiders, but Athens, back in the 80s.
Yeah, totally.
And you had REM, and you, I mean, Widespread Panic, and the B-52s. And that was.
Was Widespread from, Athens?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we had, there was a weird, wasn't there a strange, like, Collective Soul, and who were all those other guys that were here, too? There was a run of some interesting rock too.
In the night was like a 90s.
That was in the 90s.
That was
90s, like
a,
yeah.
Kind of a 90s play. But yeah, I mean, you had, so Atlanta and the surrounding area
but going
has
back,
always been a great
hub.
But yeah, I mean, the hip hop scene, I mean, it's got deep roots here.
For sure.
Luda.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, you got Luda.
Yeah.
So yeah, great music town, which led me to think about music and like growing up here and brands and where I got my music and how I got my music over the years. And you had these classic, you know, Atlanta local record stores.
I think I know what you're going to say.
You know, and I'm talking about Turtles.
You're talking about Turtles. Yeah.
I'm talking about, so Turtles was great because it was, now this would have, Turtles would have been cassettes. This would have been, we're buying cassettes at Turtles.
Yeah. Now I've got some vinyl from a collection that I bought.
Yeah.
That's got the Turtles sleeves.
Got the Turtles.
Yeah. 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 Cause
great
obviously somebody,
yeah.
somebody sold it back or whatever like that and they re-sleeved it and it's got the Turtles sleeve on the record, which was a great little find.
Yeah.
Now I wasn't here for that. I
go
wasn't
to,
a Turtles
go fan. To our Instagram page and there's a shirt that we did for the band Fish. We didn't do it for Fish, but it was for a Fish tour. Where we borrowed the and sort of played with the old Turtles logo, which was really cool. But that was a great record store. Then you had Peaches.
Well, and Peaches had the peach crates.
They had
not,
peach crates.
That was kind
you
of
could buy the vinyl, and you can still order those vinyl crates now.
Can you really
store your vinyl?
Oh wow,
yeah.
Okay.
That was a good spot.
Where was Peaches?
I'm trying to remember if Peaches.
Because Turtles had a few locations. Right?
Turtles had a few locations.
Yeah.
Everybody had a location on Peachtree.
Yeah.
And I think Peaches was right by the Peachtree Battle at where the bridge is.
Okay.
Where the school is. Right. Where Rivers is. I think it was right down there.
Okay. And Peachtree Battle.
I think that's right. Somebody fact check me on that one.
Yeah. All right. Interesting.
But you had a Turtles over there. You had Turtles up Roswell Road. But then you also had Coconuts.
Coconuts. I know nothing about Coconuts.
These, I think, predated your arrival.
Yeah.
But yeah, those, so, funny names, Turtles, Peaches, and Coconuts.
That is so random.
The record stores.
Now, when I did move to Atlanta, there was a tower here, cause tower
was over by Lenox.
It was over by, next to where that Kroger was, I think, or whatever. But it was up around the corner from Lenox. I think it might have moved once or twice.
Yeah.
But tower was the big thing out west. We all used to go to tower because tower had the Ticketmaster window in the store where you would line up to buy
Everybody
your concert
out
tickets.
To buy
yeah,
their
exactly.
YouTube tickets.
Yeah. Now we had Rainbow Records, that's where I bought a lot of cassettes, Rainbow Records, but it was just a small, you know, I mean, there was no Ticketmaster or whatever. I mean, if you wanted the big selection, definitely go into town.
Yeah. We had Fantasyland too, which was a record store up the road a little ways.
Interesting.
But Tower was the first, kind of like, I don't know if they were the first, but I think of them as like, they were
the megastore.
The megastore.
Yeah, yeah. It was
right?
like the
you
big
megastore.
You
had
mega
little
store.
Small guys, and then all of a sudden Tower came along, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah, and it was like, we've got 30 copies of every single album by every single band.
Yeah.
You know, and you could spend hours and hours going through there.
Look at all these CDs and their extraneous weird packaging.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. Yeah, how they elongated the cardboard boxes or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I still am not sure why they did it.
Remember when Blockbuster came out with Blockbuster Music? And you could listen to the CD. They would
for free.
They would cut open.
That's right.
Yeah.
I do remember that. I hadn't thought about that.
Shout out to Ben. Ben and I used to go up. We used to wander on up out of our apartment up to Blockbuster and then listen to CDs. Which, like, They're the grossest headphones.
Yeah, you're putting ever, on
like greasy, gross headphones that everybody else is listening to. You know, and it was like, oh, I don't know if I want to commit my $11. You know, because right. I've only heard one song on this album. Yeah. Let me sit in the store for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Hogging this gigantic CD player. Yeah. Remember how big CD players? You know, to listen to this album to just decide, yeah. I'm not going to buy this.
You know what? I don't think I want the new Space Hog CD after all.
Yeah. Although I do like me some Space Hog. but yeah, what a weird, I mean, interesting idea, horrible business model, right? Because we're going to bring everybody in. You're going to sit there for an hour to not make a purchase.
I mean, the argument is it got you in the store.
It's true.
That is
true.
Got you in the store.
That is true.
But who knows? I mean, yeah. So long, Blockbuster.
Yeah, I can't remember the name. We had a record store out west that was, it was a used place that would allow you to do that. So this, everything was already open. Yeah. And it was really more like, hey, make sure the CD is not scratched.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause you're buying, it was, but everything there was like $5, $7. I mean, it wasn't like super, it wasn't like, oh my God, you know, this is a massive investment, you know.
Right.
But they did have a little listening station. And so every once in a while I'd be like, ah, I kind of like this band, but let me listen to that, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we got off track on, Atlanta Brands.
No, it happens. Yeah. It happens.
But yeah, a lot, you know, I think what's interesting about potentially, sort of thinking about wrapping up this conversation is that it really is vertical neutral. And here's what I mean by that. Like we are all over the place in Atlanta, right? It's not like, oh, you know, we're known for,
we're all tech.
Yeah. We're up in Oregon and we're Nike and this city is dominated by, you know, athletic wear, right?
Or we got Russell.
Yeah, we do have Russell.
Shout out.
Yeah, or as you mentioned, you know, Silicon Valley and whatnot.
Right.
It's like, oh, we're only tech.
Right.
You know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We're like kind of by design, just variety all over the place.
Which is kind of mirrored in our own business.
This is, I knew you were going to say that.
Right?
Yeah. I teed that one up pretty well.
You did.
Right? Yeah.
Over the center field.
Softball.
Ball. Here we go.
Let me underhand pitch this one to you.
We love working on all different kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
Variety. And we always talk about with clients about how, because they ask, well, what is your niche? What is your niche? Well, we don't really have one. We work across a lot of verticals, and we like doing that because we like learning about all kinds of things. And also, it's really cool to think about, hey, I'm going to take something from this food client and apply some methodology to a orthopedic spine device.
For sure.
And sort of mix and match and pull ideas from everywhere. So I do. It's true. Atlanta is like that, and we are as well. But I think we're running out of time.
Yeah.
We could talk about this for hours.
Well, inevitably, we're going to hit stop recording, and then we'll think of 20 more companies in Atlanta, like, oh, my God, I can't believe we forgot tonight. You know, that type of
thing. Yeah, and they're going to be like our clients.
Yeah. Well, I wrote down some of our clients, but I do a little, what's the, you know what I mean?
What's the point?
We don't
need to do that.
All right. Well, I think that's good for today. I like the idea of talking about Atlanta more, though. We should do another one about some of our favorite
stuff. First of the Atlanta series. So if you have any ideas or thoughts on Atlanta, ATLians.
Yeah, where can they drop us a line, Rob?
On the interwebs at mocktheagency.com, of course, and then on all of the social networks, including Blue Sky now.
Mm.
You're on it.
I'm on Blue Sky.
We got to get on that.
I've got Blue Sky. I'm on.
We got to get
it's
our
magic,
agency on.
It's a magical.
It's a magical place.
Yeah, I've got an
always sunny.
I've got an there are a little bit of clouds, but you know, just for shade.
Yeah.
You know, there's no threat of rain.
Right.
No threat of rain.
Right.
So.
All right. Anyway, everybody, good to chat, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.